So there's been some feasting, right? Right? How many of you have done some feasting? How many of you are pretty sure you've done too much feasting? Okay. So there's this famous, some of you have seen this over the years, but I just love this set of kids, set of turkeys here. Take a look at them as a picture comes up on the screen there. Some real feasting, right? Every family, when it comes to Thanksgiving time and the big feast, probably has that one aggravating relative who comes to the big feast. Don't look at them if they're sitting in the room. But how many of you have some aggravating relative? I'm thinking specifically, we'll just call her Aunt Matilda, okay? Every family's got an Aunt Matilda who brings along her scrumptious side dish of tantalizing green bean casserole or extra creamy, zesty, cheesy potato bake or something like that. And all the family members start to rave after the first forkfuls of Aunt Matilda's delicacy and say, wow, this is so good, yum. But when she's asked, can we please have this recipe? Well, her response is often just some quirky grin and then, I just whipped this up kind of comment. And you start to get the impression that she's not going to let go of this secret recipe. Or maybe she says, I think that's in the family cookbook from 1957. And you remember that you had an old mimeographed copy of that family cookbook that got doused in gravy back in 1987, and that was the last time you saw it, and you're realizing in that moment, fat chance we will ever get this recipe. It's obviously super secret, and everybody else's eyes at the table are rolling, and Aunt Matilda just grins, and everybody has some variation of an Aunt Matilda in their family. Lake Avenue School sign says this. Take a look. Gratitude is like gravy. Put it on everything. How many of you are gravy fans? Yep. William Arthur Ward famously said, gratitude can transform common days into Thanksgivings. Now look at this. This is big. Turn routine jobs into joy and change ordinary opportunities into blessings. And what Ward says right here is really at the essence of Psalm 100 that's calling us to live a lifestyle of thanks. I mean, the psalmist originally gave this psalm to God's people, the ancient Israelites, not so that once a year they could gather around turkeys and give thanks, but so that all year long, every day, literally every moment could be lived as a life of gratitude. Genuine gratitude, the very core of Thanksgiving, can seem like that secret recipe kind of thing. And we look again at Psalm 100. Take a look at the lines here in Psalm 100 again. It clearly says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Now, that's important to get a hold of because we're always in his presence. Always in his presence. But in this extra special way, we have opportunities to step into his presence, regularly realizing that we're right there, and to do so with gladness, with joy, to know what's that mean, to actually recognize it, to grab hold of it in your heart and mind, to know that the Lord, he is God, it is he who has made us and not we ourselves, we are his people, the sheep of his pasture, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is what? What's it say? The Lord is good. His mercy is what? What's it say? His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. There are a couple of friends of mine I want you to meet. It's a joy to have Monica and Jeremy Chambers. Come on up. Will you welcome them as they come? Now, they live out in Colorado, but their visiting family roots are originally right here in the Lancaster area. And they've recently written a book. I know them through a resourcing organization I'm a part of and belong to called Forge America. It's this really, really great tribe of people. And so we're thrilled to, we're thrilled that you could be here with us and love how God coordinated. What have you guys done with family to celebrate this weekend?
Yeah, we've just been able to hang out. Some of our extended family are also in the area. So, you know, big parties and play lots of board games and awesome. Eat lots of food.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Sounds like a great way to do the weekend. Very
yeah.
cool.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. That's awesome. Yeah. They recently wrote a book called The Art of Missional Spirituality. And if you've been around here for a while or even just a short while, you know that we talk often about being on mission with Jesus because it's all about Jesus. And what Jeremy and Monica do is, in a very unique sense, invite us into a whole set of life rhythms that help us daily live in the flow of that mission, but in a way that resources our souls. So it's not just, give out and bleed out and get exhausted, but instead be replenished and be refreshed regularly. Yeah. Chapter 13 in their book is all about gratitude. Why? Why so important, this business of gratitude? How come?
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a big... Actually, I do have a quote also of Henry Nouwen said this, and I think this just really gets at it. The choice for gratitude rarely comes without some real effort. But each time I make it, the next choice is a little easier, a little freer, a little less self-conscious. Because every gift I acknowledge reveals another and another until finally even the most normal, obvious, and seemingly mundane event or encounter proves to be filled with grace. And I think that's really the point of it, is that I think our pride actually doesn't like gratitude. You know, we want to think that we are ourselves make stuff happen, and we don't like to acknowledge that most of what we have is a gift from the Lord, from other people helping us to achieve things.
That's good.
And so we can foster humility, like true humility, by pressing into gratitude and acknowledging that, yeah, we have a part in this, but it's not just us. Mm-hmm. And I think it also just helps us to turn from thinking, having a mindset of scarcity, of I don't have enough, and almost living in the reality of like Psalm 23, like I shall not want, like I lack nothing. And when I can acknowledge the gift, see it and say, oh, that's a gift, and that's a gift, and that's a gift, then my vision is changed
that's
more
good.
Towards that abundance that I'm actually receiving. I actually have so much, and that just changes your whole posture towards everything in life.
That's really good. Excellent. So I'm interested in hearing, first from you, Jeremy, what in your estimation is one of your favorite insights or actual ways of practicing gratitude? And I want to hear from both of you, but first from you.
Yeah. So originally when we were kind of compiling these different practices, the value of gratitude, how it impacts us so deeply, how it changes our perspective, the power of gratitude. It's actually extraordinarily powerful. It transforms how you see even the worst of situations. So there's that value there. We've been exploring it and wanting to offer this as a practice that people can do just to go a little deeper than they've gone before. Something that has revolutionized my understanding of gratitude is this this principle that there's maybe two types of gratitude. There's the sentiment and the feeling of gratitude. It's ambiguous. It's not directed. It's just, I feel grateful. Hmm. But as a follower of Jesus, there is gratitude as a relational dimension between me and the Lord. It's not just a feeling. It's an encounter of God's goodness. And so now my gratitude is oriented towards the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it takes on a whole new dimension. Not just a feeling, but a relational encounter.
Not just a feeling, but a relational encounter. It's
mm-hmm.
good.
Yeah.
Really good. How about you, Monica?
Yeah. I feel like, again, kind of going back to that abundance sort of thought, like just saying to the Lord, thank you, in so many different moments. First sip of coffee, like, thank you. Like, this is a gift, actually. Yeah. Or like, you know, you're...
Speak of my language.
Yeah.
right. Or like when you're with people. I mean, we even have had conversations with our friends who don't know Jesus who let us kind of share with them of our own walks with the Lord. And we actually thank them for being open to even us sharing with them. Like, it's just, can we be people who are just thankful? And it does, I think, it's a cultivated thing of, like, can I use every little moment almost to cultivate that? And it becomes, at first, it might feel a little, like, stiff. Like, okay, I'm just saying thank you all the time almost. But, like the now in quote, it becomes a thing that builds upon the other. And then, yeah, you can suddenly see everything as a gift.
That's really good. It's awesome. Awesome. Thank you for blessing us with those insights.
They're
going to be out in the foyer afterward if you'd like to talk with them. And again, if you're looking for a fresh resource to feed your soul in some extra special ways, highly recommend them. This is available everywhere in all the different book channels. So,
yeah, thank
great.
You.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Let's thank them for joining
thank
us.
Thank you for having us.
So I want to show Psalm 100 to you one more time and just highlight for you as it comes up on the screen this realization, and Monica got after this in what she shared. Notice what's there in bold, and not we ourselves, we are his. That's really moved me recently, that in a sense is like Aunt Matilda's secret recipe. Only God gives it to us. It's this fresh dose of it's not about me, and it's not about somehow what I've crafted and created or what I've succeeded at. Instead, it's that realization constantly, we are his. It is he who made us, and it's not only like he made us back then, but he's actually every day, if you're walking in step with the Spirit, he's making you anew in Christ. It's his work in you and through you. Now, we're going to take an opportunity for open mics to share. Open mic time right here at the front. I want to encourage you to come. Some of you came ready to share, and that's awesome. So I want to encourage you to come. Maybe you didn't come ready to share. Maybe you forgot that we were going to do this, or you're brand new for the first time and you're just learning that we've got open mic opportunity. I want to encourage you to come and give thanks. A couple of reminders as we do this. Please remember to keep your comments concise. Try to not be a praise hog. It's good to praise, but don't be a praise hog, okay? Give some room for others to share. But please come, and no gossip or griping, so please, none of that, and spotlight and praise Jesus, him alone. And then the biggest one of all, most important though, is don't hesitate, initiate. That means go ahead and make your way to the front, because commonly what happens when we do this time is it gets going and a few people get sharing, but people are hanging back there, and then all of a sudden there's like 25 of you sitting here and we're out of time, so don't hesitate, initiate. And let me pray for us, and then I'm going to invite you to come. Let's pray. Precious Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you so very much for this opportunity to give you thanks and praise. Thank you for the rich insights that the chambers just shared with us. And I praise you most of all, Lord Jesus, for how wonderful and holy and true and faithful you are. You are good. You are good all the time. And in these very moments, Lord, right now, we want to give you praise and thanks with all we've got. In your precious name, amen. Okay, mics are open. Come on.